Our Father in heaven, the God who dwells in glory and majesty, the one who loves us deeply, Father, we are thankful that we can gather this day as your children to worship you. We thank you for all that you have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that this evening you may be pleased to be in our midst, to speak to us, to help us to appreciate you, to help us to catch a glimpse of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the true light may shine in our hearts, renewing our minds and helping us to behold your glory in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. We entrust this time into your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 102nd message, and we are considering the Lord Jesus Christ, the 23rd message. In our concluding messages on the Lord Jesus, we are seeking to appreciate the Lord Jesus, his role, and our response, and this is the second message in that regard. The topic for today, Christ, the way for us to fulfill God's purposes. In this concluding message, I'm bringing together what we have been learning from the scriptures concerning the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can have a composite picture that can help us appreciate the person of Christ, his role in the fulfillment of God's purposes, and how we ought to respond. In the last message, we saw that the key to appreciating the person of Christ and how we ought to relate with him is the biblical revelation that he is the God-man, why he's at the heart of God's plan, and why he's able to fulfill his role is because he is the God-man. And it is vital for believers to have a good and accurate understanding of the spiritual meaning and reality of Christ as the God-man and the implications. And all this must be grounded with strong biblical basis and a strong foundation. I want to begin today's message with this statement that there are fundamental things that man must know if he wants to participate effectively in the fulfillment of God's purposes. That is, he must know God. And he must know what is in God's heart. And he must know how God wants man to participate and work out his purposes together with him. These are the key issues that man must know. And Christ, the God-man, is the way not only to know, but to enter into all these realities. And the Lord Jesus himself is at the very heart of the content of what God wants us to know and to communicate to us. We have seen the Apostle Paul equates the Lord Jesus Christ to the word mystery. What was in the heart of God, but hidden in Old Testament times, but now revealed in New Testament times. The revelation of the mystery begins with the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling amongst men, the incarnation, and through his person, his preaching, his teaching, his life, and his death and resurrection. But it is continuing. It continues with his working through the lives and ministry of his disciples, and especially what they have written as preserved for us in the scriptures. And even till today, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand what has been revealed in the scriptures. The Lord Jesus is our perfect example of the perfect man, how God wants man to be or to become. And Christ is also the one who enables man to become what man ought to be. Through sanctification and transformation, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Through Christ in us, that we can attain to what God intends for our personal lives, and also together as God's people, that we may be conformed to the image of Christ. And Christ is also the one who enables us to participate effectively in the fulfillment of God's purposes as we abide in Christ and He in us, and there is no other way. As Paul puts it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As I've explained in times past, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me also includes the various situations that we go through, the strength to go through, as well as the Lord's enabling for us to go through it well, the way the Lord desires of us. And there are some key scriptural terms referring to the Lord Jesus, which helps us to recognize and appreciate the fact that He is central in helping us know God, know what is in the heart of God, and also to know the way we should live. These are verses that are rich in meaning, these terms, these scriptural terms, and they are directly relevant to our understanding as well as our experience of these realities. The scriptures tells us that the Lord Jesus is the true light, that He is the Word of God, that He is the way and the truth and the life. He is the true light. John chapter 1 verse 9, this is a testimony of the Apostle John. He is the light of the world, the words of the Lord Jesus Himself. And He is the light of the nations. You've seen this prophesied in the Old Testament by Isaiah. Christ came into this world so that man need no longer remain in darkness, need no longer live in darkness and sin, but may have the light of life through faith in Him and following Him. The light of the Lord Jesus not merely helps us to have a mental knowledge of the truth. It has a positive, moral, and spiritual direct dimension that moves us in the direction of life. John chapter 8, verse 12, the light of life. The Lord Jesus is the light, and it's the light of life. Because He is God, and in Him is life, and the life is the light of men. John chapter 1, verse 4. So this light of the Lord Jesus gives forth the light, and this light that shines forth is with life and moves us in the direction of life. Christ has come so that we may have spiritual insight into the truth. In the fallen world, we are living in the midst of oppressive darkness surrounding us, whether we realize it or not, and the wiles and lies of the evil one, often not recognized. But the light of Christ can shine through and can penetrate the darkness of men's hearts and minds if man does not harden his heart and if he gladly receive the light of life. This would result first in conversion, but it doesn't end there. The light of Christ continues to shine in the hearts and minds of His disciples, that there can be continuing renewing of the mind. Is a continuing process and transformation. The scriptures also clearly teaches us that Christ is the Word of God. Revelation chapter 19 verse 13, His name is called the Word of God. We've reflected on the meaning of this expression, this term referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the culmination of God's revelation and God's communication with men. In Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 to 3, the writer of the Hebrews tells us, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son. The Old Testament, the prophets prophesying the Old Testament, it culminates in the coming of the Son and the ministry of the Son, and what Christ communicates to us. But Christ, as the Word of God, He not only reveals to us what God wants us to understand, He also, it has come to reveal to us God Himself, that we may come to know God. God is Spirit. How do we know God? One of the most important ways in which God has revealed to us about Himself is through His Son. Christ Himself is the content of what God wants to reveal to us, because Christ is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's nature. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Because Christ Himself is God. So Christ is God's primary communication to men through His preaching, His teaching, and Himself at all times, as He speaks, as He walks, as He lives. And that is why in preaching, in teaching, and also as we seek to witness for the Lord, we must not only seek to communicate the truth of the gospel in terms of concepts and trying to help people to understand various truths, but we must also be conscious that we should look to the Lord to help us to communicate the reality of Christ as a person, the spiritual reality of the person of Christ. Christ is the way and the truth and the life. This is one of the most important verses in the scriptures, a key verse, very rich in meaning, that helps us to understand and appreciate the person of Christ and His role. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Himself in trying to tell us who He is. John chapter 14 verse 6. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And He adds, no one comes to the Father but through Me. So Christ not only shows us the way, but He Himself is the way. The way to God, verse 6 just now, no one comes to the Father but through Me, but also the way to heaven. He tells us He's preparing a place for us in verses 1 and 2. How is He the way to us? We have seen this again and again in various messages. He's the way for us to be reconciled to God, but He's also the way for us to be forgiven of our sins, that we can have salvation in Him and through Him, because, as we have seen, He is the Savior of the world, the one who died for our sins. We have spent some time to consider Him as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the fulfillment of the unblemished Passover lamb. As Peter tells us, we have been redeemed with the precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. And all this is also reflected in His very name, Jesus, which is the Greek form of Joshua. We've seen it means God, or the Lord, or Jehovah, saves, is salvation, or delivers. He's our deliverer, the one who gives victory. He is God, and He is our Savior, our salvation, our deliverer, the one who saves us from our sins, and the one who delivers us from the evil one. We've seen that we used to live in darkness and sin, under bondage to sin and also to the evil one. But in Christ, we can live an overcoming life. He is the way, and the Apostle Paul tells us to walk in Him. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Yes, we have received Him, but then we must continue to walk in Him. He is the way. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, as we continue to walk in Him, we will become more and more rooted and built up in Him, which is what God desires. No longer remaining as babes in Christ, but be built up so that there can be increasing wisdom and knowledge. verse 3 of Colossians chapter 2, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So increasing wisdom and knowledge in Christ. Wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ as we walk in Him. As we continue to look to Him, learn about Him, we will increase in wisdom and knowledge as we grow in richness, in the quality of our relationship with Him. And that's precisely the direction we must move towards. It would result in increasing quality and richness of life in Christ. Verse 2 of Colossians chapter 2. Paul says he labors and struggles in verse 1 so that the hearts of believers may be encouraged and together we may attain to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a knowledge, in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself. So we can grow and attain to all the wealth that God intends for us as we grow in our knowledge of Christ. Not just mental knowledge, but experiential knowledge of the living Christ, an increasing fullness of experience of Him and the depth and quality of our relationship with Him. So all this will move in the direction of maturity in Christ. Christ is the truth. In Him is the fullness of the meaning and beauty of truth. He not only teaches the truth, but in Himself is the perfect manifestation of truth. He is full of grace and truth. That is what the Apostle John tells us in John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh, we saw His glory, full of grace and truth. So grace and truth is not just when He speaks, that He speaks truth, but grace and truth continually radiates from His being for those who have eyes to see. As the Apostle John tells us, that they beheld, they saw His glory, full of grace and truth. Whatever He says and teaches is truth. He teaches us, He reveals us, reveals to us the truth, which includes the revelation of God, the mysteries of God's kingdom, and the way of truth. He is the perfect teacher. In John chapter 13, verses 13 to 17, the Lord Jesus Himself says, "You call Me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. I'm teacher and Lord." So the Lord Jesus, the God-man, is the perfect teacher who teaches the truth, who helps us to know God. He teaches us what is in the heart of God. He shows us the will of God, and He teaches us how we should live. Whatever He teaches is always absolutely accurate and reliable, even though at times we find it hard to understand, puzzling. We know it is always absolutely accurate and reliable. But He not only teaches us by words, but also by His life and example in verses 14 and 15. He says, "If I then, the teacher, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you." So He teaches by words as well as by example. He not only teaches us concepts, but helps us gain insight into the truth, because as we have seen, He is also the true light. And note verse 17, He says, "If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." We all want to be blessed, favored by God, God's blessings upon us. And in one sense, as I've mentioned, verse 17 can sum up how we can live our lives well. Know and do. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. This sums up what constitutes a good Christian, a good disciple of the Lord. So we should call Him teacher and Lord, and we must learn from Him and follow His example. But the Lord Jesus not only teaches us how to become men of truth, but through Him and in Him is the way we become men of truth. It is in Christ. He is the way and the truth. And He is the way of truth. When we walk in Him, we walk in truth. Christ is the life. He's the one who has created us and given us physical life. But more importantly, it is in Him that we find the true meaning and purpose in life. The life that God intends for us, eternal life, the life of fullness and richness, the life of deep fellowship with God, and the life of fruitfulness and fulfillment. As He Himself tells us, He came that we may have life and have it abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. The Apostle Peter also tells us that He is the Prince of Life. Acts chapter 3, verse 15. And the New American Standard Bible in the margin says, the Prince or Author of Life. We've seen, in Him is life, John chapter 1, verse 4. So we must come to Him for life, the life of God, eternal life. We begin our spiritual life and journey in Him because He died for our sins, so that through faith in Him we may receive forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. But eternal life is not just something that God or Christ gives to us. Eternal life is actually Christ giving Himself to us to dwell in us, because eternal life is in Christ Himself. That's what the Apostle John tells us. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has a Son has a life. And how do we have this life? Verse 13 in 1 John chapter 5. You who believe in the name of the Son of God have eternal life. As we believe in Him, He comes to dwell in us. He Himself is eternal life. When we have Christ, we have eternal life. But it doesn't stop there. As we continue our spiritual journey, we must continually come to Him to be strengthened and refreshed by His life. This is something we need to be conscious of all the time. And just as the branches that must abide in the vine so that it can continually receive nourishment and bear good fruit, so we must abide in Christ and continually receive spiritual life and nourishment from the Lord Jesus. And in that way, we can bear good fruit. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. But Christ is not only the way of life for our personal life, the way we can have eternal life and life, God's life and growth, but also vital for true ministry. True ministry is the ministry of life. And to minister life to others, we must continually abide in Christ, continually receive spiritual life and nourishment from Him in order to minister life to others effectively. And it is interesting to note that the importance of the ministry of life and the ministry of the Word with life, and how all this is bound up with Christ Himself, is underlined by the scriptural designation of the Lord Jesus as the Word of Life. Let us turn to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of Life. Some may look at the phrase here, Word of Life, as the gospel message that brings life. But if we look at verses 1 to 3 more carefully, yes, it includes the communication of the gospel, but the Word of Life is actually referring to the Lord Jesus Himself. And the American Standard Bible correctly capitalizes W and L, the Word of Life. Christ the Word, Christ the Life. He is the Word of Life. Because verse 1 tells us what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen. What we have heard, we may say, can refer to the gospel, but what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of Life. So the Apostle John is telling us about the Lord Jesus. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life. It's a proclamation of Christ, who is the eternal life. The life was manifested when Christ came into this world, and which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That's what the Apostle John tells us in John chapter 1, verse 1. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, referring to Christ. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you also may fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship with the Father, and the Son, Jesus Christ. So it's the proclamation of Christ, through whom we can then have eternal life. So the word of life refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of life. And the Lord Jesus himself testifies of his own ministry. He says, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. He is the word of life, and when he speaks, his words are spirit and are life. And we need to learn from the example of the Lord Jesus to also speak words of life, to minister life. If the ministry is without life, it is futile. In fact, it can destroy. It can bring death. And the only way we can minister life is to continually be spiritually strengthened and nourished and refreshed by the life of Christ. Because this life that we are talking about here is not biological, physical life, but the spiritual life of God, the life of Christ. He is the bread of life. We must continually receive and be nourished by him so that we can minister life and bear good fruit. The fruit of the Spirit in our own lives, and also fruitful ministry. So Christ is the way and the truth and the life. He is the way of truth. He is truth. He is the way of life. In him is life. He is the way of truth and life. The way of truth is the way of life. We want to experience life, then we must walk in the way of truth in Christ. So it is vital for all of us to understand and to know and to experience increasing measure Christ as the way and the truth and the life. So there are two critical aspects. One is understanding, knowledge, and spiritual insight of the way, the truth, and the life. The second is to enter into these realities as God intends for us, in increasing depth and richness of meaning and reality. And Christ is God's provision for us, that we may enter and attain both of these aspects. First of all, Christ shows us, teaches us, and helps us understand and gain spiritual insight of the way, the truth, and the life. And secondly, Christ is the one who also enables us to enter into these realities that God intends for us, in increasing depth and richness of meaning and reality in Christ, and he in us, because he is the way and the truth and the life. In the next segment of today's message, I want to concentrate on our response in the light of the scriptural revelation of who Christ is. As we grow in our appreciation of who Christ is, let us draw near to him, affirm our love for him, and totally entrust our lives to him, wholeheartedly submit to him, because he is faithful and true. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. The Apostle John wrote, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true." The Lord Jesus is perfectly faithful and true, perfectly reliable and trustworthy, and so we can totally, wholeheartedly submit our lives to him and obey him without being doubtful, without being fearful. But Christ is perfectly reliable and trustworthy does not mean he will always be what we expect him to be. We've seen in an earlier message, it also does not mean he will always do what we expect him to do. because, and this is not uncommon, believers can and do have wrong, inappropriate expectations of him. So this is something important we must learn, to have proper understanding and appropriate expectations of Christ. When we have appropriate expectations of Christ, we know he can be fully dependent upon. And he will always be faithful and true, reliable and trustworthy. That is, if we come to appreciate and depend upon him as one who is perfect in his being, in his character, and in all his ways. In that sense, he can always be fully depended upon to always be and to always act in a manner consistent with the perfection of his being, the perfection of his character, with full wisdom, perfect love, grace, and power. In that sense, the Lord Jesus will always be faithful and true to the quality of his being. He will always be faithful and true to what is good and right. As you've seen, he is full of grace and truth. Truth in his innermost being. He always walks in truth, and truth always consistently, continually manifested in his life at all times. And he will always speak truth to us, because truth is an essential aspect of his being. And we must also learn to become like him more and more. Truth as an essential aspect also of our being. So if our expectations of him are sound and consistent with the truth and the character of God, we will never be disappointed. However the outward circumstances may appear, we can always trust him as we walk with him. So we can and we ought to entrust our lives to him without reservation. Be totally committed to him and walk according to his leading and his will. It's just that we have to ensure, make sure we are walking according to his leading and his will, and not be deceived and not walking according to our own desires or wrong understanding, interpretation of the scriptures. But if we are truly walking according to his will, to what is revealed in the scriptures, to how the Holy Spirit is guiding us, then we know that his love toward us is unwavering. He will always lead us in the path of truth and righteousness and according to his perfect wisdom and grace. And we know that Christ always knows what is best for us and also how best we can fit into God's total plan and purposes. So we must never live according to our own thinking, according to our own wisdom, according to our own desires. And as we walk with him, it is indeed very helpful for us to remind ourselves that the scriptures assures us the depth of his steadfast love toward us, because he is the good shepherd and he is our good shepherd. The Lord Jesus himself tells us, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." John chapter 10 verse 11. So he is the good shepherd, and he loves us so much that he's prepared to lay down his life for us. And the writer to Hebrews tells us that he's the great shepherd because he is the God-man. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20. God brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus our Lord. So the great shepherd, the great communicates to us, great in terms of power, the Almighty God, but great also has the moral dimension of moral perfection. So the good great shepherd, the Almighty God, that is Christ himself, he is God, who willingly went to the cross on our behalf, which reflects his moral goodness, his love toward us. With such a shepherd as our shepherd, we can have strong confidence in him who cares so deeply for us, for our well-being, and who demonstrated the depth of his love toward us by laying down his life for us, even the death of the cross. And so we know he's able to protect us, to keep us, and to provide for us, because he is the God-man. We can have strong confidence as we walk with him in faith. Just as David found the Lord to be his good and great shepherd who provided for him, cared for him, kept him, Psalm 23, this can also be true in our lives. But it's important that we do not go astray. We must keep close to our good shepherd. Otherwise, we may be devoured by savage wolves and by the roaring lion who prowls around seeking someone to devour. But if we are truly abiding in Christ, walking with him, then we need not be fearful nor anxious. Whatever the situations he sees fit for us to go through. As we seek to live our lives before the Lord, there are two verses in the scriptures that can be very helpful for us to continually bear in mind, to help us to know how we ought to live each day. And in particular, I want to concentrate on the expression that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The Lord Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the writer to the Hebrews exhorts us to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and to run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. That is how we should live each day. Run the race set before us, fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So Christ is the author of our faith. We begin our life of faith through him and in him. But he is also the perfecter of faith. But let us recognize that this is not an automatic process. Yes, it is the will of God, and the Lord Jesus seeks to perfect our faith. He seeks to teach us, to mold us, to transform us. He wants to renew our minds, to transform our inner man, to help us to grow in the quality of our faith as well as the quality of being, the development of our inner man. But we must cooperate with him and what he seeks to bring about in our lives, so that we will grow to become a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We can appreciate Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 from the angle of looking to the Lord Jesus to help us run the race, to face the various trials of life with endurance. That is, by looking to him for guidance and enabling, and as our perfect example and encouragement, that is, running the race in fellowship with him. As we run this race, fixing our eyes on him for guidance, for enabling, as our perfect example, verse 2 says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, as the one who encourages us by his example, his life. But today I want to draw your attention to another aspect which I see is very helpful to bear in mind as we seek to live our lives according to the exhortation of the writer to Hebrews in Hebrews chapters 12 verses 1 and 2. And that is the meaningfulness of going further by appreciating the relationship between verses 1 and 2. In particular, the Lord Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith in the midst of the trials of life. That is, the race that is set before us is the path God wants us to walk, the race set before us, not our own race. We have to run the race set before us. This is the path God wants us to walk in. It is a difficult path. That is why we need to run this path with endurance. But it is in the midst of running the race with endurance by fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus that our faith is being perfected. We see the writer of the Hebrews, after telling us the need to run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, he says, the author and perfecter of faith. So there's a relationship between running the race with endurance, fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus as the author and perfecter of faith. As we run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus, that is, as we look to Him in fellowship with Him, being strengthened by Him, something very important and precious is taking place. The perfecting of our faith. And so it is vital for us to cooperate well with the Lord Jesus and what He seeks to bring about. And this takes place in the midst of running the race with endurance, in the midst of the trials and difficulties. It is in the midst of the trials and difficulties as we run this race with endurance in faith, looking to the Lord Jesus to strengthen us in fellowship with Him, which means we must persevere in faith and fulfill our part well. Then this very vital aspect of the perfecting of our faith takes place. It's amidst of all this that Christ in you, the hope of glory, begins to take place. The transformation of our being, the growth of the quality of our being. This is not only something very important for ourselves, it's also something very precious to God, and this is also vital to enable us to participate effectively in the fulfillment of God's purposes. So let us run with endurance the race set before us. And notice here, the writer to Hebrews says, let us. So the let us means it's not just alone, personal. Let us run the race with endurance. We have to run this together. So we are not to be deterred by the difficulties along the way, and we are to run together, to uphold one another, to help one another. And this beautifully takes place when the life of the body is functioning well, each one fulfilling our part well in the body of Christ. We will all be built up together. God wants all of us to run the race well. But not just each one of us running our own race, but all of us to run together the race set before us. God has the life that He wants us to live, the race set before us by God, not our own race. But it will not be an easy life. So let us together fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus as we run the race set before us. Let us together submit to His Lordship, to His headship. Let us together look to Him to strengthen us, to lead us, to guide us, and let us look to Him as our perfect example, supremely manifested by the Spirit and the way He went through the cross. With that Spirit and that attitude, let us live each day and run the race set before us. And if we do that, we can also look forward, we can then look forward to our equivalent of the Lord Jesus sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God after having endured the cross. That is in verse 2. The writer of the Hebrews says, run the race with endurance, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And the writer of the Hebrews tells us, who for the joy before Him endured the cross. So the Lord Jesus was encouraged. He knew that it was not just suffering, but He was looking forward to what will be accomplished by the cross. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And then, having accomplished that, He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So for us, if we also run in like manner, we too can look forward to our equivalent of the Lord Jesus, having accomplished the cross, sitting down at the right hand of God. And what is that? An aspect of that, we can put it in this form, that we may reign with Him. As the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. That is what we can look forward to, not only during our walk with God on earth, but also throughout eternity. But the Apostle Paul also tells us that we need not wait until we see the Lord face to face. That even while we are on earth, we can also reign in life through Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 17, Paul tells us, "For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ." So take note, the reigning in life is reigning in life through Christ, and this reigning in life is also linked to the receiving of abundance of grace. Those who receive the abundance of grace will reign in life through Christ. So we can, this is actually a reference to the richness, the fullness of life, the reality of an overcoming life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is in the context of the receiving of this abundance of grace. Abundance. There's so much that God wants to give to us in Christ, in his grace, including his life, his strengthening. Let us, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, reflect on what the scriptures reveal to us of the Lord Jesus Christ as the God-man, our Savior, our Lord, our God, the true light who can shine in our hearts and minds, the Word of God who reveals to us, communicates to us what God wants to communicate to us, especially revelation of who God is, and Christ himself is God, the revelation of God in himself, the way, the truth, and the life. We want to know what is the right way to live. It is in Christ, walk in him. We want to know the truth. It is what he reveals to us. If we want to become men of truth, it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the life of abundance, the life of fruitfulness, from him who is the bread of life, the Prince of life. And so let us learn to entrust our lives fully to him who is faithful and true, in perfect obedience, submission. And let us learn to run the race with endurance, not just on our own, but together as members of his body. He who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who seeks to perfect us and perfect our faith in the midst of the trials and difficulties we go through, as we trust him, as we look to him, as we go through in fellowship with him, in dependence upon him, that he may bring about what God intends for our lives, that we may be conformed to the image of Christ, which will then enable us to participate effectively in the fulfillment of God's purposes and reign in life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, as we receive the abundance of grace from him. Let us now reflect over our lives. Have we truly entrusted our lives to the Lord? Are we living in true submission to him? Are we conscious of our fellowship in the body of Christ to uphold one another, encourage one another, and to run this race together, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith? If there's anything we need to put right in our lives, let us do so, that the Lord Jesus may have full freedom to teach us and also to express his life in us and through us. Let us lay aside every encumbrance and any sin in our lives that hinders him and his working. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that Christ is the way for us to attain to all that you intend for our lives and for us to participate in the outworking of your purposes. We know that it is through him that we can experience forgiveness of sins, reconciled back to you, receive the gift of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and become your children. But we know that you do not want us only to be converted, but to continue to walk in Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. That in him and through him, we may continually grow in our knowledge of who you are, and to understand what is in your heart and your ways, to know the truth that can truly set us free. And as we walk in him, the way and the truth and the life, increasingly we may also become men of truth, conform to the image of Christ, and live the life of richness and abundance, and even on earth to reign in life in the Lord Jesus Christ as we receive abundance of grace. We pray that the Spirit of God may continue to have the freedom to speak to us, to help us to understand what you revealed in the Scriptures, that our appreciation of Christ may grow, not just in mental knowledge and understanding, but in the richness of appreciation of him in our hearts and the richness of our relationship with him. That Christ in us may indeed move in the direction of glory, the manifestation of the glory of God, and God's glory manifested in what you accomplish in the lives of your children. Father, we know that we are living in a fallen world. We know we cannot afford to be presumptuous nor careless, for the evil one prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But we thank you that we need not live in fear, for we know that you will always lead us in triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in him we can overcome. We can overcome the weakness of the flesh, and we can overcome the evil one. We pray that you help us in the midst of difficulties, spiritual opposition, the trials of life. We may learn to run the race with endurance, fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That we may learn to run together, upholding one another, encouraging one another, continually trusting in you, depending on you. Father, we thank you for assurance of victory in every battle, if we trust you and depend on you, and also final victory in the spiritual warfare against Satan and the forces of darkness. Father, we thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that you prepare our hearts that we will not partake in an unworthy manner. Help us to forsake all that is displeasing in your sight. Put right in our lives whatever that needs to be put right. And help us to partake in faith, that may be strengthened and refreshed by the life of Christ, and enhanced in our oneness and fellowship in the body of Christ. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.